Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. So pleased to have Gary Henry back.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
With us here. And, of course, our main production man, Mr. Jason Rumball.
Good morning, Scott. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning guys. Yeah. Great
good
to
morning.
Have you both.
How are you doing?
Doing very good.
Scott,
good
to I'm see doing you wonderfully. Morning. You know, I think when I tell you guys what we're going to talk about, maybe the smiles are going to fall a bit, or they're going to get bigger. I don't know. It depends where you're at. I asked Gary when I walked in the door this morning if he was fit for the call to the other side. And as you may or may not know, Gary has an organization that's called Fit for the Call and has to do with not only body, but mind, soul, and the whole deal, the whole ball of wax, right, Gary?
The whole man, the whole man.
The whole woman, too, I think, so.
I'm not here to get in trouble.
No. He was talking of mankind.
I got to walk the street after. I'm not going to say anything about a woman.
In this game, I know we have a piece that we read in a lot of these recovery meetings or these support meetings, and you know, it has to do with yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And, of course, we never know what tomorrow is going to be and so on. But it's nice to feel, I think anyway, that we're as fit as we can be at any given moment for the call to the other side.
Amen.
You know, amen. Jay and I were just talking about it as we drove over this morning, and you know, and Jay especially, has seen. I quipped with him first. I said, Jay, you must have seen a number of specialists in your life, and he said, I think I've seen specialists for every part of the body there is. But
yeah, that's true. And,
yeah. I bet it is too.
You see, like the thing is, it's about training the. The unseen, more than the seen, because what's seen is temporal.
Yeah.
And I was speaking to an old client of mine back in Texas and a couple of days ago, and she was a Hurricane Katrina survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, well, how was it when I trained you? She goes, well, to tell you the truth, you really built my spirit, man, more than anything. And she said the physical, that was just a piece of it. So for me, that it's very encouraging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because chances are we may not see each other again. Right? I may not see you again, but through our conversation and through our fellowship, we build one another up from the inside.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody looks at the outside, but we're looking at the inside of this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does, in the spiritual capacity as everything is, far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And if we don't feel strong in our spiritual life, we're going to have a rough time when we get close to the line, or when someone says, as has been told to me many years ago, and didn't happen, thank God, but that I might have 5 years left. This was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And I remember I was with my daughter, and the fellow said, well, you might want to sit down when I mean, you know, so he scared us before we even got to talk about it. And then he did the 5-year thing. He said, most people would tell you might have 5 years. He said, I think I can get you 10.
Wow.
You know?
So how did you deal with it?
That's 20 years ago. Well, not well for a while. I mean, it hit me kind of hard, and it's a very sobering thought, you know.
Yes.
Maybe I'm going to the other side sooner than, you know, I thought I was going to go, and so, you know, does it really make a difference? Excuse me, does it not? How should I handle myself? Where should I go from here? Am I prepared? Are the things I want to do before I go, and so on? And a lot of confusion, you know, as I thought about that. But as I said to Jay, unless you've had a near experience or been told by some professional that your life may end, you know, quite a bit before you thought it was going to, it is that sobering effect. And just being with that for a while and kind of determining how you're going to, you know. And I don't know. I heard the finishing strong somewhere a long time ago.
Yeah.
And, at some point along the way, I started to feel that that was what I was going for.
Yeah.
And I couldn't really move on those words until many years later, when I'd more or less gotten past the 5 and, you know, eventually the 10, and now it's 20. So, I mean,
praise God.
Yeah, and folks, for you out there, there is that hope. You can always find another day, another year, another eternity, in a sense, when you thought you were. I thought 50 was gonna would have been a magical thing, and I'm 71 now. So
you're 71.
Yeah.
Wow.
And clicking, my man. And clicking.
And you're still locked. And you're 71, you're acting like you're 18, 19?
Yes. I want to keep that.
Wow. That's good.
As much as Julia wants to annihilate that part of me. But anyway, okay, we'll get back to this fit for the call, Gary, just a bit. And when you think of death, and I know a fit for the call is appropriate for this, you know, just this subject. What do you think about not being here? I mean, what's your sense of that? I mean, in all honesty, I mean, you know, it frightens me even though I've watched had people die even in my arms, you know, so.
Yeah, I've seen, I've experienced that a few times. As a matter of fact, last week, I was at my friend's mom's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And this lady, she left her mark, a big mark on this world, and it wasn't, I won't call it a funeral, I should call it a funeral, I'll call it a homegoing, a celebration of a life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny that you asked me this question this morning, because my thoughts, when I go, what will they say about me? What kind of mark am I going to leave on my children? What kind of mark am I going to leave on this world?
Yeah.
Right? I'm not trying to be Superman, but I want to know that I touched not just my family, but people that I come in contact with, that I had some impact on their life, right? That I just didn't treat them like they were invisible. Because today, people walk by people like they're invisible.
Yeah, true.
You know, it's kind of hard to say, hey, good morning. It shouldn't be, but you can change the outlook of somebody's life. But when you talk about death, I have a friend who's, you know, who's going through a very tough time, losing her loved one, you know, battling cancer, and they're saying to me, hey, is God punishing me? I'm like, no, God's not punishing you. God doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to understand where she's coming from. You know, I validate people's feelings, because death is not an easy thing. It is not. And yes, I mean, my grandma used to say, hey, I have to go sometime. I said, Mom, I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, you know, we're born to live, and then eventually, you know, our time is called.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mr. Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. Yeah.
That was very, it was very heart-wrenching. You know, one of my clients, she actually played, she was with him and his daughter that died in that crash.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago.
I was there, right?
Wow. Yeah. And my in-law worked with Kobe Bryant with the Lakers.
Wow.
And I called him and he says, it's not a good day.
No.
Right?
No.
It's not a good day for anybody, because death, it comes with a punch. It comes with a hit.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting that him and his daughter were in church before they went on the plane.
Hmm.
And he knew
good
the Lord.
Good to hear.
Right? So, and so, to encapsulate, what do I think about death? Mm-hmm. If you die in Christ, there's no sting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have that confidence that you're going to see that loved one, mm-hmm. or individual that you know.
Yeah.
And you pray that they knew the Lord. Or they, you never know, at the last second, they could say, hey, Lord Jesus, I take you. I accept you. All right. So, yes, there's like sadness. When my mom passed, it was not easy.
Mm-hmm.
I was sad, but I was also glad. Because I knew that, hey, I'll see her again,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, things are going to be okay. It's not easy when you have a loved one in your life, and they're gone, or somebody that you held close to you. And when you think about your mortality, man, it's a scary thing.
Yeah.
You don't want to take your last breath. You know, Jay, you've been in the hospital. I've been in the hospital.
Yeah.
We've all had our challenge, And our mind is like, whoa, what's going on? Mm-hmm. But here we are today, so we got to seize the moment. We have to seize the moment and try to encourage somebody who's going through this difficult time in their life, watching their loved one, you know, pass away. And
I think you've hit something on the head there, Gary, with seizing the moment. And I believe in that totally. Yeah. But I also know there are people who are not prepared for the unexpectable, the unexpected in any way, shape, or form. And, and they really tend to either go into depression or to panic big time when they're, you know, even if it's someone else's life, but their own is, like I say, I was told that, and it's a strange kind of feeling, you know. It's one that I don't think you can tell a story about unless the other people you're talking about have
been through it,
have been there. And it's almost always like that. But one of the things that came up, and you know, being in the world of recovery, or at least recovery support systems in and out of jails, as you guys know, most people we see in there are addicts. And now an addict, especially an addict of fentanyl, which is so common today, they flirt with death on a day-to-day basis. And many I've spoken to have been dead, basically. They've been gone, and they've been brought back, you know, brought back with, you know, somebody had a kit that they could spray up their nose or give them a needle and give them an extension on their life that they wouldn't have had nobody shown up. And some have overdosed 15, 20 times, so that means...
What?
They've been gone 15, that many times.
20 times. Yeah.
And, wow. And they treat that, the actual overdosing, as another kind of illness above and beyond their traditional addiction. So someone said to me, some lady said to me from one of the jails, that she says, "Scott, yeah, that's what it's like." She said, "You know, what do we do, us people that... keep overdosing? We know about you know, addiction. We know about support groups. We know about meetings like this one that you have here. But what do, us people who keep overdosing on this stuff?" You know, and it's a strange question, especially to ask someone who's been around that kind of thing as long as I've had. And I had no answer, because it wasn't other than the spiritual answers I had. But in a practical sense, I didn't have an answer, because the traditional programs didn't seem to do what they should do for most people. And I was left with a bit of a sick feeling there. But anyway, so the powerlessness over death is what we want to get to. Is we're working still on this first phase as we finish January, and that's basically expressing our powerlessness over something. And I think our powerlessness stretches to over everything, at least it does in my life. And until I gave up my sense of having any power and looked to a higher power, looked to God for some strength, some power, and the use of some power, I had a rough time. But once I did that, things became easy. I don't have a problem anymore with, Scott doesn't have any power, but he has access to some, and seems to know how to connect and tap into that. And not necessarily when I want to, but when the Almighty wants to, I get the power I need, and that's sufficient for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to convey to my friend, because they're thinking they can do it in their strength.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, I told them I'm coming on the show today, bearing the burden. And then the response was, "Well, how do I bear the burden?" I said, "Exactly what I just told you. You're not bearing the burden. We're helping you bear your burden."
Yeah.
Because we can't bear our burdens alone. And it's impossible to do it in our strength.
Yeah.
We can't be an island to ourselves.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Yeah.
We all need somebody to speak to.
Yeah.
You know?
And it goes beyond God in a sense. Not beyond God, but it goes to, in my life and in my experience, I need people. And I didn't know that for the longest time in my life. You know, I really need people. And it's the people, the concreteness of people, that gives me what I need to keep my connection strong there too. So,
So like Fit for the Call, talking about Fit for the Call. Mm-hmm. There's no I fit, it's we fit.
Yeah.
We fit. We all fit, right? it's important that, because we have to look out for one another, yeah. so none yeah. of us misses out on God's special favor.
Yeah.
According to his word.
Yeah. And we're all a piece of the whole thing.
Oh, you know, of course. No we're all part of the body.
We take, yeah. You know, and that's kind of neat because, you know, when you're sick, I'm sick. So if you don't take care of yourself, you're not taking care of me, and I don't like that.
Producer, there's hope for me.
There is. Oh, definitely. Yeah. There's hope for us all.
Jay, what do you think about this? You've had to flirt with near-death experience, and you're, you know, especially in, you know, receiving your first kidney and
right.
And now running out of steam in that one and looking for another one. I mean, you've had to think about death, I'm sure.
Oh, definitely, you know, yeah, many times, not just the whole yeah. kidney thing, but the other surgeries that I've had and,
yeah.
you know, what doctors have said. I mean, you know, when I was born, like, I was born with, you know, medical problems and stuff like that. And,
wow.
you know, even at that time, like, the doctors were, you know, not too sure if I was going to make it. You know, I thought maybe I'm not going to make it past my first birthday. And I know my dad was, you know, quite worried and... yeah, but here I am, you know, years later, I'm still
yeah.
living, but yeah, so you just have to, yeah, you just have to, you know, seize the moment, as you're saying,
yeah.
and just, you know, just be grateful for the every day that you have.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
yeah. yeah. That's, it's a good way. You said seize the moment, and not only seize the moment, but seize the moment, and the only moment we can seize
is now.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Right.
So we spend so much time in the what-ifs and could-have-been and should-haves and so on, and the reality is all we've got is this thing between the last thing I've done and the next thing I'm going to do. There's a space there that's outside of time. That behind me is finished. That in front of me has not begun. This is the now we have to deal with, the only thing.
Wow.
We can go there together almost in a sense.
And, that's good.
In our meetings in jail, folks, wherever you are, we like to say that let's put that in our mind, that this space here is something we can all kind of get into for the next hour or so and have a meeting where absolutely nothing's going to bother us or interfere with it, you know?
Yeah.
Just that thought gets the meeting off to the right start. And
frees them up a bit.
It does.
Takes the load off their mind.
Yep. Yeah, so much. And again, you know, okay, if we're going to go, my brother has just had a, not a flirtation with death, but a sense that in a mistaken way, they discovered he had a mass on his kidney,
yeah.
you know, one of his kidneys. And it's the type of mass looking, you know, with the instrumentation, the CT scans and so on, it's likely cancer, you know. And, you know, and the next thing is, and I remember it was, I went with him on Saturday to, had breakfast with him, and, you know, and to say, well, Gary, I remember, his name's Gary too, I said, Gary, I remember how I felt when they, you know, when they sort of told me I might not be around forever. And so I just wanted to let you know that I know what that feels like. So, and that was really all we said much about that. But that had an awful feeling. My brother and I are close, so it's
wow.
It's sad, you know. So, but anyway, if you're thinking about going, and I'm sure you know, you're not supposed to do that yourself. You know that. I mean, go to the other side without permission.
Listen.
Oh, what a comedian. Sorrow or joy. And I hear people all the time, and I think it's because they don't know much about it, to be honest, but that's just an opinion. I can't wait to get there and to do this and to do that. I said, well, I've seen some pretty faithful people on their way out, too, and it doesn't look like that for most people when they're getting close to the last breath. I mean, and I'm not talking just anxiety. I'm just talking... you know, the body, in a sense, has a mind of its own. It doesn't want to die.
True.
You know, so...
Everybody wants to live.
Yeah, I believe so.
Right?
I believe so.
I mean, yeah. Then again, there's people yeah. who have faced so many
yeah.
difficulties
yeah.
in their life,
yeah.
very traumatic, that they just don't want to be here.
It's yeah. actually our... I guess it's our lack of knowledge in that area.
True.
We're all afraid of what we don't understand. Eh?
You know? Everybody fears the unknown.
Yeah. Right. And it is unknown. And you know, I don't know why I smile, but I remember my sister dying of cancer. She was 44. And I remember a nurse saying, no, you know, it looked like she was taking close to her last breath. I remember the nurse saying, Put your arms around her, you know, and I did, you know, and I did, and that was her last breath, and she died.
Wow.
You know, she died in my arms. But honest to God, from then till now, and I'm sure forever, I'll think of this as having had Heather in my arms and standing, you know, at the ledge.
Jesus.
And just lifting her up and being out of my arms, and that's kind of what I was left with. And then I looked back at her physical body, which was now just a body, and I felt, you know, this is wonderful, because I can see that changing by the moment. It doesn't even look like her already.
Wow.
You know, a couple of minutes later, and you know, so the wonderful, beautiful Heather that was just breathing here a minute ago has gone. She's gone. The essence of her is gone. Obviously, it's not there anymore. So it's gone. It's gone to be with God, you know. And we had prayed about that happening too. We were both in chemotherapies of sorts at the same time, and yeah, and she didn't make it, but she made it. If you know what I mean. Anyway, with that sobering thought, I'm going to pass over to Jay here, and Jay, get us out of trouble, pay some bills, and see what you can do for us.
All right, sounds good. Time to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.